Imagine that you are a fly on the wall in the home of a young Christian family on a Sunday morning. Time to wake up, Jason. No, Daddy, it's too early. Why do I have to get up? You need to get breakfast and get dressed. Why can't I stay in bed? It's Sunday and we're going to church. Why do we have to go to church on Sunday? Sunday's the Sabbath. It's the day of rest. We go to church on Sunday. It's in the Ten Commandments. But Dad, I'm already resting. Dad pauses. If we don't go, your mom will be angry. You've got 10 seconds to get out of bed. Kids are notorious for asking questions. Sometimes they are being argumentative. They frustrate their parents by doing that. Often they simply just want to know, why do we do this? Why don't we do that? Why is this right? Why is that wrong? Children want to know the reason for our behaviors. They want to know the rationale, the purpose, the benefit. The truth is the same even for adults. We want to know, don't we? And we don't like rules that seem arbitrary or unnecessary. I mean, most adults think they can quickly respond to a text while simultaneously keeping the car moving in the right direction. I've done this. I've seen others do this. And yet it seems that distracted driving is actually becoming a real problem, and they've got research to show it. One study from way back in 2013 noted that texting while driving surpassed drinking and driving as the leading cause of teenage deaths. Maybe it's wise to heed our traffic laws about cell phones. Maybe there's good reason for these rules. Well then, how about the rules, the laws, the commandments we find in the Bible? Are there good reasons for keeping them? I think most of you are familiar with the Ten Commandments that Amy read for us this morning. The list of commandments is found with minor variation in two separate places in the Bible, the book of Exodus and the book of Deuteronomy. The commandments are memorable. Each rule is terse, concise, without much detail. Two of the commandments are in positive form. Honor your parents. Remember the Sabbath. The other eight are negative. They tell us what not to do. Nine are about action, while one is about thoughts and attitudes. I'll let you figure that one out. And the rules, you'll be maybe surprised to realize, they don't come to us numbered. Different denominations have different ways of enumerating them. Talk to your Catholic friends. And while people often pride themselves as having kept most of these rules, I'm a good person. I've never murdered anyone. Well, the Ten Commandments are only 10 of the 613 laws in the Torah. Right? So if you can keep those 10, you've got a bit of a ways to go. The revelation of the Ten Commandments is followed by a longer set of laws known as the Covenant Code. This code simply broadens itself further and gives way to the Priestly Code, which is all recapitulated in the book of Deuteronomy. Then, in the New Testament, Jesus offers his own further interpretation in his Sermon on the Mount and other teachings. So, in the end, they're just a few of the laws found in the Old Testament, yet we recognize them and remember them as a God-given Coles Notes summary of our obligations to God and our obligations to our neighbors. I think that's why they are regarded as so important. In some places, you know, you'll even see them written on the walls. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the laws are short and concise. No other gods. No lies about your neighbor. But how about their rationale, their reason? Is it all self-evident and plain to you? Or do any of these commandments leave you asking why? I mean, why do I need to honor my mother? She left us when we were young, and now she shows up? Why do I need to take a whole day off each week? I'd rather work 2 weeks straight and then have a 5-day vacation. Well, if you're asking why, you'll be happy to know that there are at least three reasons, at least three, for keeping these rules. Reasons that can be found in what was just read for you in the Ten Commandments proper or in the surrounding text. Well, why keep the commandments? Well, first of all, because they're for our benefit. What's made clear in the preface is that this list of rules comes from someone who loves us, someone who saved us. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Therefore, as one scholar has noted, the law is a gift of a redeeming God, and a particular redemptive act is seen as undergirding and informing the law, not the other way around. That is, the law is not understood as the means of salvation, but as instruction regarding the shape such a redeemed life is to take in one's everyday affairs. The law isn't quid pro quo. If you do this, then I will do that. No, as I mentioned in the children's story, God's already saved his people. God blesses his people regardless. God saves his people and then gives them a law to keep them out of falling into bondage again. He doesn't want them to end up back in Egypt. I mean, this can be gleaned from the fourth commandment, the law of Sabbath keeping. So why are we to mimic the Creator in resting after work? Well, what does Sabbath keeping do? It puts aside all our striving. It recognizes that God has a bigger role in creation, which allows us to take a break. It's not all dependent on us. And so we can sink back into a weekly oasis and rest in God's care. The Ten Commandments, the law, is given to bless us. But keeping the commandments is not just about us. Keeping the commandments is for God's benefit too. I don't know if you caught that. I mean, if you heard that second commandment about making graven images, Scripture tells us that God is jealous for our affection. I mean, the Hebrew God is a different God than the philosopher's God, right? The philosopher's God is omniscient, omnipresent, unmoved by anything. The Hebrew God, well, is jealous. God knows that God is frequently overwhelmed with emotion, so God makes this rule. The Hebrew word used here is from the root kwana, which means something like feeling an emotion so strongly that one's face turns red. In the midst of law-giving, the Lord pauses to tell Moses about feelings. God told the Israelites not to worship idols because of how it affects God's own emotional life. God is so committed to us that for God's sake, God doesn't even want us setting up our work or our leisure or our families as idols that we worship and serve. So the commandments are about us. The commandments are about God. But the commandments are about others as well. To see this explicitly, you'll need to flip back to the previous chapter, Exodus 19, verse 5, where we are told that if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, one scholar pointed out that the force of the if, the conditionality of the covenant, has to be carefully stated. The issue is not how they might become God's people. I mean, they are already God's people. God has saved them. God has delivered them. The issue at stake is whether, is whether they will carry out God's purposes into the world. God's plan is that when our lives are shaped by these commandments, we will be enabled to be God's ambassadors, God's emissaries. Our lives will make God known in the world. Our living will bless the world around us. This can be inferred from the last commandment, the commandment about coveting. If we are people who not only in action, but in our hearts, do not covet the relationships or the belongings of others, then we do what? We model the loyalty and the faithfulness of God. More than that, our relationship with our neighbors becomes a little piece of heaven, because ultimately, of all the neighbors on the block, we are the ones who are safe to be around. They know we're not going to be stealing their tools or vying for their spouse's affection. We are committed to a way of living that doesn't covet what's not our own. There you have it, a number of good reasons for keeping the Ten Commandments. Keeping the commandments helps ourselves, honors God, and blesses our neighbors. But what if you stumbled on one of these laws? All right, we all make mistakes. And what if you've broken them knowingly? I mean, it wasn't really a mistake. You knew it was a good rule. You just decided to do otherwise. Well, if you've done that, you're in pretty good company. You don't have to go far into the Bible to discover that God's people include thieves and idolaters, adulterers and murderers. I mean, who was the man who received the law from God? Moses. Remember why Moses had to leave Egypt? Murder. Maybe he could have pled it down to manslaughter, but like he was guilty, right? It says right there. There was no cover up, right? And what did Israel do while Moses was up the mountain receiving the law from God? They took a collection of everyone's jewelry. They melted it and made a golden calf for them to worship. They were breaking the law even while Moses was receiving it. Now, that's not a good example for us. But I think what this teaches us is that, well, God's law is a gift and blessings will abound when it's kept. But when we break it, there is forgiveness, as the Lord's table reminds us. There is forgiveness. So thanks be to God. Amen.